All right, guys, welcome back to episode 14 of Prime Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. Few things as per usual, guys, to touch base on before we start. Let's get it out of the way, let's get it done quick, get this episode up and running, so that we can get to the good shit without boring you too much with the bits that I know you guys aren't too fond of, which is me rambling on. So, first thing is, massive thank you again to everyone that's given me the support so far. Every single person that listens to this, it really does mean the world for me. When I look at the statistics on the podcasting hosting website, like every view means the world to me to know that someone's given 2 hours of their day to listen to the shit that comes out of my mouth. So really does mean the world. Again, if you can please leave me a review on iTunes. iTunes is the best, guys. A lot of you do give me DMs on Instagram and leave some comments on YouTube, which is great. But iTunes is what's going to really allow me to push this podcast out to a wider audience and really get this message out there. This is what it's about. Getting this message out to as many people as I can to help people save themselves, save the world. That's what we're aiming for, right? And as always, if you use the code REDPILL, that's the code REDPILL at checkout, you're getting an exclusive 10% off anything at primalalchemy.co.uk. Now, I could go on and I could tell you how the Vitruvian protein is the best health supplement in the world because it's organic certified, paleo certified, keto certified. It's got adaptogenic herbs, nootropic herbs, prebiotic herbs. I could go in and tell you all the benefits of that, but I'm going to leave that one out for today. I pretty much just told you anyway, so I snuck that one in. But regardless, guys, so today's episode, it's a really good episode. Really enjoyed it. It's with a guest called Mark Wooding. Now, none of you may be aware of who Mark actually is, because he operates under the name of After School, which is a very, very interesting YouTube channel if none of you are aware of it. So Mark is a freelance animator based out in San Francisco, I'm aware of. I think that's where he's based. But yeah, I reached out to Mark a while ago, maybe like sometime last year, beginning early 2018, just to inquire about the process of his creation methods and what he does with his art, and just to see if I could sort of work with him somehow with the brand. And that sort of initial communication led to me and him just going back and forth and really developing a pretty solid friendship, seeing that he's on one side of the world and I'm on the other here in the UK. And I was always asking, I always had the idea of having him on the podcast, but this is his first podcast he's ever done. So it was new to him. He was a little bit nervous to begin with, but as soon as he warmed up to what was going on and found his flow, it was great. Really enjoyed it. And we talked about a lot of interesting stuff. Obviously, Mark being an artist himself, we discussed the whole creation process of tapping into some form of creative force outside of yourself and being able to channel that into the art that you create. We talked about a lot of interesting shit. A big thing that plays a part in his life and mine, something that we can relate on, is our own personal quest of our magnum opus, our masterpiece, our purpose in life, in order to create something that's beyond us, and to be able to dedicate our lives to bring in our own individuality into a project to help other people. Mine being the Primal Alchemy brand and his being the After School brand. But yeah, a lot of cool shit, guys. This is not going to be one where I'm going to be talking about quantum health. I'm going to be talking about nutrition or exercise. This is much more of a philosophical conversation between myself and Mark, and one that I think you can greatly benefit from. It's about finding your purpose in life and how to do it. It's the hero's journey. It's going through trials and tribulations in order to face the dragon, to face your fear. And when you do that and overcome it, That's where the treasure lies, guys. The treasure lies in the cave you fear to enter. And yeah, you know what? Let's stop me blabbering on. Fuck, man, it's already been 5 minutes. I said that I wasn't going to make this one a long one, but seems that I have. So yeah, let's get it going. Episode 14. Let's rock and roll. Morpheus, tell him what's up, bro.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar. As we go deep down to the molecular level, tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Prima Okami.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three and a two, one, and we're live. All right, guys, welcome back to episode 14 of Prime Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour. So, guys, I've got a treat for you today. This one's a little bit different than the norm. We're not so focused on the physical, the mental, the spiritual in any specific viewpoint today. We're going through things a little bit different, and the guest that I've had, that I've got on, is someone that I've been in contact with for a while now. I've reached out to him, must have been about almost like last year when I was starting up the Primal Alchemy brand, and seen just to see what his opinion was on it, because his content, his work is really inspiring. So yeah, I was a big fan of his work for a while, and yeah, I think you're really going to like this one, guys. We're going to cover some subjects that some of you may be familiar with and some of you may not be. So we're just going to wing it, see how it goes. And I just want everybody to welcome on Mr. Mark Wooden. How's it going, buddy?
What's up, Chris? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. So for everybody who's not familiar with Mark's work, Mark is also known as After School, which is a very popular YouTube channel that creates animation that covers real sort of mind-opening, mind-opening subjects that I feel if everyone was to listen to at least once and integrate parts of this into their life, they could greatly enhance their time here on Earth in the third dimension. And really benefit from it in many different levels, be that physically, mentally, and spiritually. So yeah, Mark, if you wouldn't mind, buddy, could you give us a bit of a rundown on how you really got into creating the After School brand and where you think it's going to?
Awesome. Yeah, great question. So just a quick background on me. I've been an animator for about 10 years now, and I started as a freelancer. And that went really well. The clients got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the money was good. But at a certain point, it got a little dull, and I'm a very purpose-driven person. So I had all these ideas in my head about what I wanted to achieve with my life, and just creating the same kind of HR animation or IT information video for like Intel or Facebook or LinkedIn. it was a good job, but I felt like I could do something more. And it's actually an interesting story. In 2016, the Trump campaign asked me to do a video for them. And, you know, this was a big opportunity, but a lot of people don't like Trump. So if you attach your name to Trump, that could hurt you down the line. So I decided to do the job because me saying no to that job isn't going to stop it from happening. You know, he's going to go to the next animator on the list. And long story short, the project went pretty bad. I didn't get paid. I did a lot of work. And I am thankful for that experience because that launched me into dropping everything I was doing and saying, all right, look, I'm going to just be a YouTuber. I've got all these ideas and I want to create them. So let me give myself 1 year to do that and set a goal to hit 100,000 subscribers in the first year and hit that right on time. And it's been a journey for me just expanding my mind, and I'm super curious and I love learning, but I've never cared much for school. So that's kind of why I named it After School, and I spelled school wrong. I spelled S-K-O-O-L.
That wasn't intentional.
Yeah, there's a lot of meaning behind that school because, you know, to me in traditional school, at least in America, they put such an emphasis on things that never really made sense to me growing up. Like I love learning all throughout my childhood, but you know, they want you to spell, they put an emphasis on spelling and they'll tell me to spell the word like knife, for example. And, you know, a little kid, you ask a kid to spell knife, they're going to say N-I-F-E. And then the teacher says, oh, there's a K in front of that. That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, if you don't know how to spell knife, you get a bad grade and you're considered, you know, one of the dumb students. So whereas to me, I think a kid that spells knife, N-I-F-E, might be more intelligent. So basically the ideas on After School are really life-enhancing ideas that you don't get taught in a classroom. And there's so many ways to succeed in life that they don't teach. So I just want to encourage people to take like unorthodox routes to success.
Yeah, man, I totally agree with the taking the unorthodox approach, or what would be considered unorthodox in today's society, or the conditional programmed perspective which society's led to sort of follow. And yeah, I think it's really important. And again, I blabber on about this a lot in pretty much every podcast so far, and everyone's going to kick off hearing this term again and again, but you really have to live your hero's journey in order to really become the ultimate version of yourself. And it's normally by kind of taking the leap of courage, being brave, and following your bliss when a call to adventure is presented to you, that you can really begin to find yourself in situations that you wouldn't necessarily find yourself, well, you wouldn't find yourself in if you just stick to your normal life or the path that's expected from you, from your parents or from family members, et cetera, et cetera. And it's interesting how sometimes the path that we think that we're meant to go down, it's only when it fails miserably that we're presented with a new path that really opens your mind to like, oh, of course, this was always meant to be the way. But you really have to experience the shit end of the stick first, which it's that age old story of the death rebirth, the spiritual death rebirth, the phoenix, and then you're becoming a new person, shedding the snake skin and becoming really what destiny has prepared for you to achieve. And yeah, I love it, man. And your videos are really inspiring, dude. Like they cover some real sort of mind expanding, awareness raising topics that you're not gonna find, like you said, if you just judge yourself your intellectual level on what you've learned in school, because they're not going to teach that shit to you. Because if they talk that shit to you, you're going to be a critical thinking, open-minded individual that thinks for themselves. And that's not what they want. Because if you are that person, you're fucking enemy number one. Or you're going to be made out to be, because you're not going to fit into the system that they've set up for those to profit from. And it's, so for everyone that's listening, give Mark's videos a viewing, guys, because they really are cool. And one of the things I would like to talk to you about, Mark, because it's important to myself, and I know me and you've discussed this before when we've back and forth communicating, is the importance of someone working towards their magnum opus, their masterpiece. And how the hero's journey is really intrinsically linked to that pursuit of your masterpiece. And like, masterpieces may differ. Like for me, the Primal Alchemy brand is my magnum opus, and it's I'm forever working on it. I'm forever tweaking it and expanding it. But the vision is there for what I know the masterpiece can be. And you can say this, you can say the same with Da Vinci. Da Vinci's work and the Mona Lisa is his magnum opus. You've got Michelangelo and was it David, or you got the,
is that
got,
the Sistine Chapel?
Yep, that one as well, man. That's the one. Yeah, just how important it is for our own spiritual journey to pursue our own masterpieces, no matter what creative pursuit that is.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you brought up magnum opus, because that's been a word that I have that word written in big letters in my studio right above where I do all my art. Mm-hmm. And I have it written there. So I always look at it and I'm reminded, you know, each video should be better than the last one. You know, don't half-ass anything. And, you know, I like these examples you're bringing up of magnum opus. You know, everybody, I think, has a magnum opus in them. For a lot of people, they would say it's probably their family, like their kids were their magnum opus. But, mm-hmm. you know, for Linkin Park, it's Hybrid Theory. For Leo Messi, it's like his record-breaking season. For Einstein, it's the theory of relativity. So, you know, your magnum opus is what you'll be remembered by. It's like your legacy. And I'm not trying to attach that with ego so much. It's just like, you know, everybody's put on this earth to do something at the right time, at the right place, and they have the right skills. And I think people feel that deep in their soul, that they're meant to do something. And if you deny that, it's kind of like you're killing your soul. And it's interesting how people like cope with that, that they take these soul crushing jobs and they kind of behave in ways that exemplify how much they kind of are suppressing what they're truly meant to do. Like they drink, like there's a place and time for alcohol, but you know, if you drink in a certain way, if you spend all your time watching really shitty TV, and you know, I feel like that's kind of denying like your true self.
Yeah, it's one of those that you find that everyone has a kid before you're sort of molded into a box cutter personality. They all have their interests and their passions, and it's normally this that if you can find a way to sort of revitalize that passion in adult life, that you're connect to something greater than yourself, a sort of a force which pulls you into a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And it's when you start to really pursue that's when you can start to work on your own magnum opus. But it's you see it all the time, man. There's so many people that you see them in, like you said, like a real soul crushing, soul destroying job. And, right. And you're always like, well, what would you do if you could be anything? And they're like, oh, I'd really want to be a painter, or, oh yeah, I'd really want to be a writer. It's normally some creative pursuit. And you're just like, well, why are you not doing it? And they're like, well, you know, you got to pay the bills. I've got responsibilities. I've got all of this external sort of made up shit placed on top of their shoulders that really stops them from it. And what that really creates is a sense of fear. And it's the fear which stops you from accepting that call to adventure, which is a critical point within the hero's journey, because that's the destiny. That's destiny putting out its hand saying, yo, come for an adventure and see where it takes you. But right. You have to be brave in order to be like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I am gonna do this. Yeah, let's go. And then that's when Bilbo goes off to leaves the Shire and goes off to his adventures with the dwarfs. That's when Frodo does the same, when he goes off with the what are they called? The Fellowship. Yeah, the same with Harry Potter going to Hogwarts. Like all that You have to initiate it. You have to do this bit's on you. And then on some severe cases, the universe will keep repeating this to you, repeating this call to adventure, repeating it until it's fed up with having to deal with your sort of fucking cowardness, that it just does something that crashes your life altogether, where you've got no choice but to pursue it. And
right.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's definitely interesting, man. And,
I remember the hero's journey. I remember there's a call to action, but then isn't there the hero denies that call? What's that
Switch
called?
Yeah, so it's the refusal of the call. So you've got you've got the call to adventure, the refusal of the call, and then normally the hero gets led to a mentor of some kind, and then you then do the exit threshold, where you go from the ordinary world into the special world. So this would be when Luke's family gets blown up, his farm where he's living on gets blown up, and he goes off with Obi-Wan to join the rebels, or that's like an example of it. And then once you're in that the special world, that's when you start to really live the adventure that's going to make you become who you were born to be. And you go through your trials and tribulations. It's not easy, man. This is like the hero's adventure isn't just going to be some fun walk through the park. Like it's going to destroy who you think you are right this moment, because you cannot complete the hero's journey by being the person who you are now. It takes a hero to fulfill the prophecy of the hero's journey. And you have to go through that death, rebirth, experience. And most people, if you're telling them this, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Chris? Death and rebirth. It's like, shut the fuck up. but it's it's so important, guys, so important. And it's been encoded through myth generation after generation after generation, and it's always been something that people have really sort of dedicated their life for, to that cause. But it seems today we're missing our own cultural mythology, and because we're missing our own cultural mythology, or something that we can relate to in today's age, apart from Hollywood movies and shit like that, it's people are so out of touch with themselves, with nature, with the universal sort of blueprint of life, that we're just oblivious to it. We're out of touch with our intuition, where when we do get these calls, we just bottle it. We bottle it, and we're like, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow, yeah, tomorrow. Let's start tomorrow.
Yeah, man. You know, life is short. You hear people say that a lot, and that's true. You know, in the blink of an eye, you could turn around and you'll be an old man. And but it's also long, in the sense where you can work on something for 5 years, and if you fail, that's okay, because you still have like 70 years, 60 years left. So, you know, people are pretty hard on themselves. They put a lot of stress on themselves and pressure. But, you know, I think giving yourself 1 year to reach for your dream is not much to ask. Like, just 1 year, you can accomplish so much. And that's what I did. I said, okay, if I don't find any success in 1 year, I can always go back to doing what I was doing before. You know, that's the worst case scenario. But, you know, just give yourself 1 year to take a risk. And some people out there will say, oh, I can't take a year off. I've got rent to pay. I've got bills. I've got kids to take care of. You know, if I take 1 week off, you know, I won't be able to survive. Yeah, and one thing that's really helpful is just straight up facing your fears. So, you know, what are you so scared of? You're so scared of being poor. Like, well, you know, maybe go to another country and you can live on a dollar a day. You know, being poor is not the worst thing in the world. So if you kind of come to terms with, okay, I can handle being poor, I'm not scared to take a risk. You know, that's really empowering.
Yeah, and I think what you said about the, like, 1 year, give yourself 1 year to turn your life into something that resembles more closely what you envisioned your life to be when you were growing up. Like everyone, when they grow up, they think they're going to have like, they envision the perfect life. It's a natural human trait to do so. And then loads of people just settle for less. And it's there's this thing from Benjamin Franklin, real good quote that I liked, whereas most people die at 25, but aren't buried until they're 75.
Man, that's a good quote.
Yeah, man, it really sums it up. And it's like, that people die. They literally, well, it's the death and rebirth, but without the rebirth section, they just die. And then they're literally then just waiting to, they're stuck in a hole, because the same thing that you're relating back to that 1 year, give yourself 1 year. In most people's eyes, 1 year is like, that's a fucking long time to be working at something, man. It's like people are so conditioned to short-term immediate gratification, be that through going to the supermarket, getting some fast food, watching porn, wanking, beating off, getting that high, like literally just drugs, easy to get hold of, bam, chase the dragon, get dopamine trigger, get a dopamine response. And it's everything's so easy nowadays. And if anything's hard, it's immediately off-putting to you, because you're like, well, why should I work for a year and sacrifice everything just in the hopes that I might be able to make something better of myself now? Whereas in this current situation I'm in, I can just click on Pornhub and go on whatever video I choose, and then I can go ring up I don't know if you guys got Deliveroo, you got Uber Eats, right? I think you're ring up yes, Uber sir. Eats, yeah.
And then instant gratification these days,
yeah. And it's one of those real under the radar plagues that's plaguing society. There's an epidemic in it, and it's a form of psychological warfare where we are spiritually malnourished, in that because we're not pursuing our bliss, we're not pursuing our dreams and creating. That's what humans are, and that's like we're the human beings, human species, to go a little bit woo-woo, in as a perspective from the galactic hall with all the other sort of races out there, human beings are highly treasured, and it's an honor to incarnate, for your spirit to incarnate as a human being, because we have this creative force where we can tap into the whatever you want to call it, the collective unconscious, the universal galactic mind, astral realm, all that shit, and we can extract from it something in which we can manifest in the third dimension. And that's a trait that every human being is capable of. We are creators. We create our own reality. And when we're not creating, I feel that's when we hit these levels of, these mental illnesses like depression and things around those lines, is because we're not fulfilling one of the basic requirements of being human, which I really do believe is to create. And I know that you'd be able to resonate with that, because I'm sure you enter zones when you're doing your own form of creation with your work that you don't feel yourself. You feel it's almost like you're channeling that information. You're channeling what you're sort of projecting and creating from somewhere else, right?
Right. I guess you could call it the flow state when you're working on something and you haven't looked at the clock in like 6 hours, your phone's off, it's in a drawer in another room, and you are just like, there's no sense of time. There's no sense of any sense. Like you're not even hungry. You're not aware that you haven't eaten in 12 hours. That's when you know that you're actually working on what you're meant to be working on. I think that on the flip side, when you're looking at the clock every 5 minutes and time is moving so slowly, you know, there's too much time in the day if you're working in a soul crushing job. So this one exercise that I find helpful, and I tell my little cousins to do this that are trying to figure out what they want to do with their life. I make three circles that intersect into like a holy trinity. And in one circle I have, what am I good at? In another circle I have, what do I love doing? And in the other circle I have, what will people pay me to do? And the intersection of those three circles is where you can find your sweet spot or your magnum opus. So, you know, if you're if you really love something, but you're not good at it and nobody's willing to pay you for it, you're going to be broke and you're not going to, your heart's not going to be in it. You know, if you're missing any one of those three things, you could fail. Like if people aren't willing to pay you for it, you could go broke. If you're not good at it, you'll fail. And if you don't love it, you'll probably give up eventually. So, yeah, it's really important to kind of be aware of those three categories and find a balance. People really, I think the ultimate crusher of these dreams is just self-doubt. And, you know, in order to believe in yourself, you have to have evidence to support that belief. You have to have like experiences and evidence to support your belief. It's like I'm just thinking of an analogy. It's like a tabletop, like where your belief is like the top of the table, and the evidence and experiences in your life that you've come to know are like the legs of the table and they support the tabletop. And, you know, if you listen to enough cynics and doubters, that's like a woodpecker that's chipping away at the legs of the table. And eventually the top comes crashing down and you don't believe in yourself anymore.
Yeah. I love it, man. It's what you were referring to then about your free circles. It's very similar to the Japanese, diagram, the Japanese belief of, I don't know how to pronounce this, like ikigai, which is like finding something that sits in the sweet spot of like what you love, what you're good at, what you can be paid for, and what the world needs.
I'll have and to look into that word.
Yeah, it's yeah. Ikagi. Obviously, man, I'm just like some white boy English guy trying to talk Japanese. I'm not going to be able to pronounce this at all. So it's ikagi or ikigai. It's one of the two. I think it's like I-K-I-G-A-I.
Okay, Akagi. Yeah.
Yeah, Akagi. Is that how you would pronounce it? Yeah. So it's it's very similar.
I'm Japanese, so I should be able to pronounce it.
Oh, shit.
I don't know Japanese. So.
Oh, shit. There it is then, man. Yeah. Akagi. Yeah, well, I'll keep that one noted so I don't sound like a complete moron when I try and describe that to people from now on. Akagi. Yes, same sort of thing, man. Like when I was saying, it's finding the balance, the golden center within all four of those. And it can be hard. It can be hard in life to find this if you're just led astray and you don't even know where your passions lie because you've just been focusing on distractions, on work, on irrelevant bullshit that doesn't really matter, but you've been conditioned to believe matters. And you're not going to find your Akagi watching Netflix and chilling. And it's like you said, it's interesting what you're saying about the self-doubt with the and the only way to overcome that self-doubt is to go through trials, tribulations, have experiences where you prove to yourself that when shit hits the fan, you can actually do something. You can empower yourself to get through it. And it's, but you're not going to know that unless you've been in those situations. It's the same sort of thing as like pretty much every guy is going to be guilty of this, that every guy thinks he could knock out any other guy. And you're not going to know that unless you've been in a fight. So loads of guys walk around with this, with the false sense of like false confidence and false sense of security that they can just batter any guy if they feel like it, if they turn their mind to it. But it's like, well, you never know. You don't know what's going to happen. That's why I love MMA, man. I love watching MMA and I love seeing, it's not necessarily who wins. It's seeing a fight where someone is the like literally getting a beatdown placed on them, but they don't quit and they don't surrender. And you can see that they're in deep waters. They're literally on wobbly legs, but somehow they fight through it and they come back. Even if they don't win, it's that moral victory of like, well, when I'm on my back foot and I think the lights are about to go off, I can find it from somewhere to last it out. And I love that. That's what I love seeing. That's what I love watching. It's seeing how people relate to those types of situations when they're placed, or when they find themselves in those situations. And MMA just so happens to be a very extreme version of that, where the risk reward ratio is it's a lot more dangerous than other pursuits. But yeah, just I think it's so important, man. And it's like you were saying with your own journey when you were doing the Trump campaign, which had the potential to be or work within the Trump campaign, which had the potential to be very beneficial for you, and it just didn't pull. It just didn't happen. It just
right.
Yeah, and you're.
Oh, I just want to put this out there that I absolutely don't like hate Trump for that experience at all. Actually, I'm thankful for that.
Just tweet and hate him. Fuck you.
I know, but most people want, I'm in San Francisco, California, the most liberal spot in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you even say the word Trump, people look at you like you're a leper. You know, I mean, they get such an emotional rise when you say that word. So I just want to make it clear that like I have no resentment towards him for that incident. I'm actually thankful because I feel like failures and rejections are like stepping stones to the ultimate success. A lot of times you see things in like black or white. It's either a failure or a success. But you know, to me, the road to success, like the warrior's journey, there's got to be a couple of failures along the way, and it's quite a learning experience. And it took me a really big event to finally kick my ass into gear and get me to start the YouTube channel 2.5 years ago. At the same time as that Trump thing happened, I got this girl that I was deeply in love with broke up with me. And she moved away. And, I, at the time I had put everything into our relationship. Like to all the guys out there listening, like it's never healthy to make a girl your absolute top priority. Like all my energy was focused towards
amen.
Her. And I was sacrificing, a lot, I would hang out with her over working out, which, you can't do that. So I had she left and I was kind of like, I had this big void in my life, and I was like, all right, I have all this energy. I need to focus this energy on something positive and grow out of this. And, I took all that energy. I focused on her and I just focused it on making the YouTube channel. And, it's funny because, I have absolutely nothing against her at all, but we kind of just met up recently and, here we are like a little over 2 years later and my channel, I'm not trying to like brag or anything, but it's doing really well. And she sees the videos and, we got along just fine, but I've grown a lot since we ended it and it's kind of nice. And, it's just crazy how much can happen in just a short amount of time. Like just last week, YouTube invited me to go to their headquarters and give a talk in front of a huge audience, and then they were going to live stream this talk in front of the whole Google community around the world. And the YouTube CEO was the one interviewing me.
Oh shit!
And it was just pretty nuts. I got on that stage and I was nervous, but I was like, wow, I just paused for a second in front of the whole crowd and just took a moment to like take it in. I was like, this is crazy. 'Cause like 2.5 years, this was just an idea. I was just like a dude in my parents' basement with this idea. And, now the YouTube CEO is interviewing me on like how to be a YouTuber and how to educate people online. It's just wild how fast things can happen. And, we live in a really like pivotal time where, the internet and just, you can reach millions of people now. And, we've never had a platform like this ever in the history of the universe. So, take advantage.
Yeah, man, for sure. And you wouldn't have found that that spark in order to create After School if it wasn't for, which at the time would have felt like losing your world because that was your main priority at the time. And you almost have to lose everything in order to gain everything in return. And yeah, it's a hard one to go through. I'm sure a lot of guys listening to this, even any of the ladies that are listening to this, it's I'm sure everyone's walking around with a broken heart or a recovering broken heart at least. And it's it's important just to not mourn on it. Direct the energy into something creative. And create the reality that you want to live in, because the old one's not coming back. The old one it's over. So you now need to create a new one. And everyone is fully capable of doing so. You just have to be able to tap into that creative source within you, which is something I actually wanted to go down, a little route to go down with you, Marcus. What's the, out of all the content that you've made, what's been your favorite video that you've made in terms of like the content you covered and what you learned yourself while creating it?
That's a good question, man. Each one is like a baby to me. One of the first videos I ever made was how to get over a breakup, funny enough. And I get so many messages about that video, like, thank you so much, this helped me, because you know, men, they try to suppress their emotions, they kind of hide it, and they suffer internally. And this video is unique because it really addresses, like, it was directed towards men on how to, like, just recover and be a stronger man at the end. And I wrote it right after the breakup 2.5 years ago, but it took me a while to release it. But that one's definitely not my favorite, but that's just on my mind at the moment. I think I have a new one coming out in a week that I'm really excited about. If you know, I'm sure you know Terrence McKenna.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I do.
This is from one of his ideas, and he said it in 1998, but he predicts kind of like where we're going with time and how time is speeding up and
reaching the singularity point.
Exactly. And he thought it was going to hit in December 12th, 2012. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, clearly he's wrong in the video, but he talks about, you know, even if he's wrong by like 100 years, it doesn't matter. 500 years, it doesn't matter. And it's really interesting that to kind of like zoom out and see the billions and billions of years that the universe has existed and see where we are right now. And we're like right on the edge of this singularity point. Like, mm-hmm. we're so close that we can actually see it now. It's like, you know, our shadow is touching it. And, you know, I think people can feel it. They can feel it coming. This is kind of like also goes in hand with like denying your purpose, but we're right on the edge of that singularity point. So, you know, might as well take a risk, you know?
Yeah, definitely. We should do, man. And it's that reaching, like, again, Terrence may have been correct. He may not have been correct in his timing of this, because I mean, the Gregorian calendar itself is pretty fucked. So we're probably skewed by 100 years or so either way. But yeah, something is definitely happening. Something here on Earth is definitely happening right now. There is an awakening, if that's what some people don't want to call it that, because it's very like hippie bullshit terminology. But there is, like, people are starting, like, more and more people are getting into entrepreneurship. More people are taking these sort of risks. And even on a more metaphysical level, like, there is a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes where our consciousness is beginning to expand. We are beginning to pursue the deeper lessons or teachings that the universe has to offer. Like, more and more people are interested in it now, and we're definitely awakening to something. And is that awakening going to lead to that singularity where we literally just the flip just switches and we're in 5D? Like, you don't know. But something's definitely happening, man. Like, if you look at the Schumann resonance is normally something like 7.83 hertz. I believe that's what it was at for like pretty much consistent throughout history. And it, like, look at it, like, now, like, right this second, the past like month, it's been going crazy. It's been escalating. So, like, the Earth's vibration, its geomagnetic field is being altered. It's the vibration's getting higher, the magnetic field's altering, and that's going to have a direct impact on our states of consciousness. And it's interesting, man, because it does lead in nicely with what Terrence was saying. And Terrence was wise beyond his years, and a lot of the stuff he says, I don't think we're going to really begin to understand fully for another few generations to come until we fully grasp what he was getting at. Like, it's some of it, like, if you're interested,
there are going to be future generations.
Yeah, man. Or yeah. we might just be obliterated and floating in space with bacteria on rocks for a while until we land on another planet to which is fit for life to grow and expand on. But yeah, you never know, man. But is that the one that you've got coming out? When's that about to drop?
That one's gonna drop. So I release a video every second Tuesday, every other Tuesday. But you know, this Tuesday is New Year's, so I think people aren't gonna really be online. So I'm gonna wait till next Tuesday. Yeah, and this one's really, it's special to me too, because I'm starting to let go of being such a control freak on every aspect of the video. And for this one, I let a few other people put their magnum opus on this one. So it's half my animation, half another guy's animation, and he's incredible. I recommend everybody go check out this animation called In Shadow. Modern Odyssey.
Have you got that guy on?
Yeah, that.
What's his name?
His name is Lubomir. I forgot his last name, but he's. It took him 3 years to make this animation, so we kind of repurposed part of it, and it fit perfectly on the end. And we used Aztec art, and we used just all this like really awesome spiritual art, and then we used music from this artist called Stellar Drone that just worked so good. Actually, I think he makes his music in that hertz level that you're talking about.
432 hertz.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it's also like 528 as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I
see, but yeah, it's just like music. It really like it makes your brain like expand. It's just weird. Like you can focus so much better when you hear it. So I highly recommend that music. And we used a song called Eternity, which is incredible, and it all came together so well. And I even used footage that I shot in Thailand of like coral reefs. And so it's not just animation, this one. It has like, it hits you with every sense. Like if you're an audio learner, a reading learner, a visual learner, a hands-on learner, like this video is going to hit you on every sense.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's what you have to do in today's age, man, to really sort of get the message home, is that you have to really sort of create your message in a way that everybody can learn from it in the way that's best suited for them. Because if you just give it to them in sort of intellectual dialect, it might be a bit hard for some people to grasp, whereas they need the imagery, they need the music, which they can relate to, like you said, when you're listening to music that's attuned to those frequencies, like not generic music productions produced to 440 hertz, I believe. And there is like a resurgence now of people that are attuning their music to 432 hertz, which is much more in sync with our own natural vibratory signature. And because of that, it has a much more of a soothing effect on you, and sort of a consciousness expanding effect. That's my experience of it so far. But yeah, I love that. I love that you got the, sorry, I forgot his name again, the guy from the, what was it?
In Shadow, Modern Odyssey.
Yes.
Yeah, Lubomir. So
yeah, man, it's such a fucking good bit of art. Like, I've watched that so many times. For anyone who's not watching, search up In the Shadows and watch that, because man, it's next level. It's one of those things that's ahead of its time, and I still don't feel like people appreciate it for what it is. Like, it should have blown up. I know it's blown up, but it should really be one of those things that it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I've talked to Lubomir, and it's interesting because, like we were talking about magnum opus, that video right there is his magnum opus, and he dropped everything he was doing, and he worked on that for 3 years, and nobody paid him to do it. He just put his head down, and he created this unbelievable masterpiece. And, you know, of course, he has like studios calling him; they want him to make. You know, everybody wants a piece of what he created because it's so good. So now he's got many, many options available to him, and he has this incredible piece of art that we can all look at and enjoy. And I've been talking to him for a while, and I used his another piece of his animation on a video I did a couple of weeks ago about how social media is destroying us, and everybody loved that video. And he did such a good job of just capturing people like sucked into their phones and how fake. how you put this fake persona online, and but you know, in reality, you're depressed, and all you're seeing online are these like fake happy people, and you know, in reality, nobody's that happy all the time. True. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true, man. One of the things that I would like to I'd like to know what your thoughts are on this, because art is really important to me in many ways, and allowing me like a lot of the art that I sort of produce through the Primal Alchemy brand, be it this podcast, be it all the brand in itself, the art on my products, everything is a way of channeling something through me. It's like a fragment of my imagination that I've manifested into the physical realm. And there's something about the whole process of creating that fascinates me. And I'd love to know, like you said, you touched on it briefly when you were talking about the flow state earlier, but what do you think it is that artists have the ability to do when they create their masterpieces? Like, what does it feel like for you? Like, try explain that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, when there's a video that I'm really, really into and I'm really happy with the idea, and I put that extra energy into it, it, like I said before, time just ceases to exist. And I don't think there's any better feeling in the world than when you're creating something that you feel like you're meant to be creating, and it's coming out beautifully. And a lot of times I don't have this exact vision of what the end product's going to be. I'm kind of just going with the flow, and you know, I'll make a character here and okay, that works. Let's put a planet right next to them. And okay. Sometimes it just seems to like really flow. And as an artist, I kind of find that making art is a little bit like exercising, where you kind of have to warm up and get into it. You know, you can't just walk into the ring and start punching the bag right away. You got to like do some jump rope and, you know, work out your shoulders and get a sweat going before you can start swinging. It's the same with art. Like, I'll notice my first drawing is kind of rigid. It's tight. And I'm, you know, I'll step back and I don't really care for it. And then, you know, so I like to just get loose. I literally warm up with drawing. I'll do a couple like quick sketches, and you know, by maybe the 15-minute marker, the sketches are much more loose. There's like a flow in the drawing. So, you know, as I go deeper into the project, the art seems to get looser and freer. And you can actually see that in my videos. The first drawing in an animation it'll be good. You know, I'm not going to put out anything that I'm not happy with. But, you know, the first one is a little tight. You can tell that I'm cold when I drew it. And then by the end, it's just like free flowing. You know, there's lots of colors, and I'm taking risks, and I'm not afraid to take these risks. And yeah, so you know, it's like momentum, I guess. I keep thinking about exercising. I find that exercising and creating go hand in hand too. Like, I pretty much, if I want to make a really good piece of art, like, I'll make sure that I get a good workout in before. That's weird. I don't think you hear that from many artists, but like, I need to get like a good exercise in before I start.
No, that makes sense, man. Yeah. Get the blood flowing, get the neurotransmitters firing. I think it makes sense. Paul Check. Don't know. Have you heard of Paul Check before?
Paul Check, no.
Oh man, Paul Check is like this sensei when it comes to health, fitness, spirituality, and sort of connecting the dots. And he does something that's so out there, where if you were to actually see this being practically implemented into like in the gym, you'd be like, what the fuck? Basically, what he does is that he'd do a working set. So just say, hypothetically speaking, we're on the bench press. You do your set of 10, whatever it is you're going to do. But in your rest period, he paints.
Wow.
And the point of the whole exercise is to go from one frame of mind into the other, to where you can just get into a meditative state of mind throughout the whole workout, where the workout and the art becomes one. So by the end of the workout, you've got a good workout in, but then you've also created something that is expressing the emotions that are being brought up almost psychosomatically through the exercise. It's pretty far-fetched, really cool.
If I'm like at a point where I'm kind of stuck and I don't know what to draw or how to do it, I'll go outside and do like, you know, 50 pull-ups or something, some push-ups, and then, you know, the ideas will start flowing. It's funny, right before this podcast, I was like, yeah, I need to like get a workout in before we talk. So I got a quick like 20-minute HIIT workout in. And it's actually another weird story that just happened. It's a little side note. I'm dating this girl right now, and she got her car broken into in front of my house 2 nights ago. And whoever robbed her car took her camera, took this really nice jacket, and she's super bummed about it. And I'm trying to tell her, you know, I'm trying to comfort her and tell her that this is just like a material thing, and, you know, material things can be replaced. You know, I'm also trying to provide emotional support, but I'm also saying, okay, you know,
hard work.
This is meant to happen. Like, you'll get a better camera. Like, this will lead to some other opportunity. I know it's hard to see it now. So when I went on that workout this morning, I went on this little run, and I'm thinking about her problem with her stuff got stolen. It's kind of on my mind. And then I look and I see in this bush, I see a jacket.
Oh, shit.
Apparently this jacket is like $1,000. She told me. Who spends $1,000 on a jacket? Like, if you spend that much on a jacket, you like deserve to like get it taken. But, you know, I look in this bush, I don't know why, like, it caught my attention, and I looked in the bush, and it was the jacket. It had like, you know, her stuff in it too. Wow, I didn't have the camera, but I was like, this is 2 days later. So that just happened before I jumped on this podcast. So it's interesting. I haven't even had a chance to tell her I found it. I'll probably just surprise her, but,
wow, shit. Someone's in for a reward tonight.
yeah, well, she kind of blames me partially for the stuff getting stolen in the first place, because I left her car unlocked.
Well, that doesn't help, to be fair. Yeah. even in San Francisco, the most liberal place in the world.
Yeah, I don't lock anything. I mean, my door's always open.
Yeah, shit, man, it's crazy how that happens, though. Little synchronistic events that happen. Yeah, it is. Strange. I wonder why they left it there. Whoever it was that took it just decided to just dump it there.
Well, they probably had no use for a jacket. I've actually, my car has been broken into like 4 times. And so the first time it happened, I actually found my stuff first before I got to my car. I was like, why is my soccer stuff on? These cleats look like mine. This is my ball. And then I finally put two and two together when I saw my smash window. but yeah, anyways, back to that was a little side note, law of attraction, I guess. I wrote down a quote when we were talking a little bit earlier. That's one of my favorite quotes, from Aristotle. And he said, "It is the mark of an intelligent mind to entertain an idea without accepting it."
Yes.
So that's one of my favorite quotes. And, you know, a lot of people, they tend to write off an entire idea just because one little fact in that idea is something they don't agree with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on my channel, I'm actually really trying to push the limits of understanding. And, you know, some people call it, I've been labeled like pseudoscience. I've even been called part of the Illuminati, which is pretty funny.
I love it even more. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like the ideas on the channel are really about kind of capturing imagination and questioning like the mainstream ideas of things. So, you know, if TED Talks, like, for example, I did a video from TED Talk with Graham Hancock. Graham Hancock was really helpful in that, about the war on consciousness and what's going on with just how the government and the elites are kind of trying to suppress our spiritual growth, mm-hmm. through, you know, television and the news and food, processed food and soda and stuff like that and alcohol and making things like psychedelics illegal. They're trying to, there's a war on consciousness. And that whole talk got banned and as being labeled, you know, promoting things like DMT and possibly being pseudoscience. And I love that idea. And yeah. So I guess I'm not really afraid to present ideas that are far out there. And a lot of other, you know, on cable television, you're not going to find that. Quite a few other YouTubers are scared to possibly lose credibility if they present an idea like that. So, but you know, you're not going to find basic content on After School.
That's good, man. That's what we need. You can't just keep regurgitating the same shit. And otherwise you just fall into, becomes very cult-like, it's almost like a religious doctrine that you're, indoctrinated into. And you find that with a lot of these, you find it within with every circle. You find it within veganism. You find it within different spiritual groups that if you, they align themselves to one side and they haven't fully researched the other side. So they've just got it their way. And anything you say from your side, they haven't researched, so they don't understand, and it creates a spark. It creates the form of like cognitive dissonance, yeah. And it's just hard for people to really find where the truth is lying at the moment. Like where everyone's so confused with misinformation, disinformation, conscious biases, dogma, and all of that shit. It's all been stirred in the pot of our collective conscious. That's really confused everyone, and the people that are stirring it are the people that are keeping us in this low vibrational state of fear and in this frame of mind of scarcity, where it just keeps us in that sympathetic fight or flight response. And right. you can't create your masterpiece if you're in that state of mind, if you're sort of pulling that work out from the reptilian brain, you need to be able to connect to a deeper source, to something much more intuitive and much more wiser than a reptilian response of fight, flight, sleep, sex, feed. Mm-hmm. You need something more than that. And yeah, it's about just being able to get yourself into situations in life where you can express that inner artist, that inner magician, the inner witch, whatever sort of term you want to use for it, in order to be able to create your reality how you wish. And just keeping an eye on the time, man, I know that you said that you are busy, so we will tie this one up with just a final question I've got for you, man. But yeah, it's been great so far, dude. Yeah. It's like, again, the time just goes quick.
It does. I could do this for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You just go for not even questions. We're just talking, and the next thing you know, it's bam, an hour gone. You're like, fuck.
You know, like I said before. I mean, we'll get to your question in one sec. Like I said before, it's like a workout. You know, we just went through the warm up, and now we're really getting into it. When we first started, I was a little like, you know, tight, nervous. We haven't talked in a while, and now we're flowing. So
yeah, starting to flex, exactly. Starting to flex on each other.
Oh yeah.
So the thing I always ask everyone, Mark, is like, this one might be a little bit different for you, but I'd like to know what your perspective is on it. Is that if you could advise any one physical, mental, or spiritual practice that has helped you be the most optimal version of yourself every day, what would it be and why?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is just exercise. Really, really intense physical exercise makes you able to handle stress like 3 times better. You're just more efficient, more productive. you feel like you have an edge over, and we were talking about these MMA warriors, how like they go through like the ultimate hell and they come out, you know, with such mental resilience at the end, even if they lost, you know, to go through something like that just makes you so tough. Like, you know, your physical state translates to your mental state. So like, if you, even if you fake it, if you just put your hands above your head, like you just won a championship, that's actually going to make you feel better. If you feel like shit and you just put your hands up, like you won a championship, and then you start saying yes, like three times, you'll find that actually you feel pretty good at the end of that. If you like,
do you know Diego Sanchez?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, Diego. He's like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So I guess what helps me is like, if I'm not working out or eating healthy, like that translates to the art, and my own ideas. So the harder I exercise, it seems like the better the ideas flow out. That's just me personally, but, you know, anybody trying to get started, I recommend like, oh yeah, do yoga, go on a run, do some high intensity interval training, you know, lift some weights, engage in some competition. And they're like, wait, how's that going to help me, you know, make a video? I'm like, first you got to get your body and mind right. Then you can make the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally believe you, man. That's totally in that, on the same sort of wavelength with you there. That's important for me as well. It's the exercise plays a massive part of it, which is why I focus so much on the physical, the mental, and the spiritual, and the connections between all of it. And it's when you start to synchronize all of those together that you start to reflect your higher self. And it's the higher self that's going to be capable of being the hero, of your own journey. And yeah, so dude, I think we're tied this one up on that. Man. It's been great talking to you again, man, as always. And guys, hopefully you've really enjoyed this one. It's a little bit different than usual, but I think it's just as beneficial as the rest. And Mark is really is a great mind when it comes to getting these ideas out there in such a creative format. And his artistic style is great as well. Real easy to watch. And one last thing, Mark, before we go, dude, if everyone's liked what they've heard from you so far and is new to your work, whereabouts can they find more of you, dude?
Awesome. Yeah. I'm on YouTube, After School, After Space, SKOOL. Should be pretty easy to find me, and please subscribe. Enjoy the content. I'll be coming out with more this year. A lot of big things happening this year. So, thanks for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no problem, man. You're welcome. So, guys, let's call this one quits. Hope you enjoyed it. That's episode 14 of Red Pill Initiation Hour. Rolling out. Stay woke as fuck, guys. Peace.